step off into hour number two, you better buckle up again. This is going to get to be a little bit abrasive, but 100% accurate. The truth, and nothing but the truth. And we keep finding out more and more. This is something that we have been mentioning on the program for a long time. Erica started mentioning amyloid clots, amyloidosis, 8 or 9, 10 months ago, almost a year ago. And still, after the program we did last Monday, a week ago, no one is talking about it. No one will touch it. It's out there. You know who's touching it? Embalmers are touching it. That's for sure. They're pulling amyloid clots out of these blood vessels. No, they are not blood clots. Welcome back, Erica. You there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Is it?
It is here. It was a nice day today.
Good. I'm talking about the subject matter.
Well, that's true. Everything's fine.
Yeah, if we ignore mass genocide, everything's fine. No problem.
Right.
I'll ignore it. Every week, it gets, every day sometimes, it gets to be more obvious what's going on here. And they're not making it easy for us to figure this out. There have been some wonderful scientific papers that have gone in this direction that have essentially accommodated our ideas and even before that proved them out to be legitimate, something to worry about, something to be concerned about. This is not a joke. And it's just, I think it's why the Chinese are so afraid right now, and they've locked down Shanghai and other cities, because some of this amyloidosis was found in some of the victims there who claimed they had sickness, COVID, whatever. And when the Chinese saw amyloidosis, they flipped out. That's a guess. Is that a fair guess?
It would explain a lot. You know, maybe the toxicity of the spike protein has been underappreciated. And when you realize that it can function as an amyloid seed or prion, that's a game changer.
That's a fast track to
a guarantee for neurodegeneration at some point, among other neurological conditions. Amyloidosis is a chronic degenerative disease for which there really is no cure. There's treatments to maybe keep it at bay, but for the most part, once that seed instigates the process of protein misfolding, it doesn't stop.
So look at each spike protein as a seed planted in your body, right? Somewhere in your body, anywhere in your body, any organ, any tissue, any nerve. In fact, it does seem that the spike proteins do like nerves.
Yes.
Not a joke there. They're very happy with nerves. I'm going to go back and play this one more time. This man was, you can call him a visionary, you can call him whatever you want, but Dr. Chetty of South Africa knew when he figured out what the spike protein was. Now just listen to this. This is about a minute. I'll play it again.
That there's coercion, but we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction.
Global scale, not just here. Global scale.
Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda.
It's a poison that really has no equals because of the multiplicity of ways it can work. Approximately, just take a guess, how many different ways, Erica, can it kill people or lead ultimately to their deaths? What do we got, a dozen anyway? Something like that?
Yeah, that's a fair guess.
So the idea is to consider who made this. It didn't just show up. People made this, or people, and maybe they had help. We made it, humans made it, possibly with help. That's me talking, not speaking for Erica. This is so evil. Chetty was 100% right. And this is, what, a year and a half ago he said this. He knew. And now we're seeing exactly what happened. It seems to be about a year before this builds up enough momentum to really manifest major diseases and disorders in the human body to the extent that the people end up in critical condition and die. They die. Spike proteins, remember, go in the heart, lungs, liver, kidney, brain, doesn't matter. Don't just think of spike proteins as being resident in the brain causing Alzheimer's. That would be a big mistake. It goes anywhere it wants to. And we're finding and hearing about more and more neurological catastrophes all the time, in addition to CJD, of course.
Yeah, that's correct. And let's not forget the ovaries. I think somebody pointed out, or some research indicated, that the spike has a special affinity for the ovaries. So it sets up shop there, and you've got misfolded whatever. I've said all along, I believe, at the very least, this is a sterility vaccine, given what we're seeing with the women and all their issues and the losses of pregnancies, inability to conceive.
And stupidity to take the shot while pregnant.
Oh, yeah. That goes without saying.
80% of the women who have taken the shot while pregnant have lost their children, their unborn children. Dead.
Yeah. It's. I know the documents that Pfizer has been forced to turn over indicated that. I think there was something like 27 women in their clinical trials, formal clinical trials, not these things, that wound up getting pregnant accidentally during the trial.
Yeah.
And every single one of them except one either miscarried or delivered a stillborn baby.
And that didn't slow down Albert Bourla one bit, did it?
No. News is
up now, and you'll see a story there. It's just, what the hell's going on with Bourla's neck? Now, I want you to look at the video, and then below that, it shows a video of a snake breathing. Don't laugh. Don't dismiss this. Go look at Bourla's neck in the video. It'll be up momentarily. I'm near the top. It's not, well, maybe 20 stories down. It says, what the hell is with Bourla's neck? Or what the hell is wrong with Bourla's neck? I forget. And I want you to look at that. When you breathe, does your neck, in around 240 degrees or thereabout, go in and out, side to side? Does your neck puff out and then go back down? I want you to take a look at that. And I'm not jumping onto the, oh my God, there's a reptilian behind every bush thing. But I want you to look at his neck and ask yourself, have you ever seen anyone whose neck does that when they breathe? And he doesn't do it all the time. Maybe he was casual and he kind of forgot to mind his business and keep his neck tight or whatever. But that neck is doing something I have never personally seen before in my life. And then you go look at the next video below it. You look at the next video below it. It's a brown snake, and it shows how the snake breathes. Just look at it. Just have fun with it. You can dismiss it. I'm not asking you to believe it. Just look at it. But you look at his neck, and you tell me that's normal. It's not. Not at all. Okay, we've got some business to get to here. There is a little account here that Erica found. I'll read the first one. and then we'll talk about this. And then we'll go on. There's another one right after it. This one is you want to set this up? It's the embalmer.
Okay, yeah, so if folks remember, for some time now, there was one particular embalmer that came and spoke out about the bodies that he was preparing. Yeah, Hirschman. And these shocking long clots that were prevalent in the deceased who had the vax. And he had spoken with other undertakers who were encountering the same thing, and they realized that for the past year this has been a thing. So here's another embalmer being described, and he's elaborated a little bit on the clots.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about these clots, which, by the way, are not red. They are not blood clots. Yes, there's some blood on the ends of them, blood pushing from behind and blood possibly falling back from the end, the front end of it, sticking to it. But 98% of it is gray-white. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
There are videos up there. All right, here's a little snippet from social media. I'm going to read it a little slowly because it's awfully small text. A friend of mine is in a group chat with a bunch of healers, homeopaths, and other women interested in natural healing. The one girl in her group is friends with an undertaker. She and her dad recently had a conversation with him. Knowing that her family was in the know about current events, he was very open with them. He is in a group of fellow undertakers who are investigating the effects of the magic potion, the vax, taking notes of what they find, and eventually hoping to take their evidence to court. Good luck. Paragraph 2. He said, "We don't," this is a quote, "we don't drain blood like we used to anymore in vaxxed individuals." That's 80% of the public. "We can't. Our machine just stops and clogs up. We literally have to cut the veins open and pull huge clotted strings out." And for the people who have had the booster, in addition to the clots, their blood is orange. Their blood is orange with white-gray clots. They have a completely different type of blood. He also said, "I'm going to tell you something else that I would never tell most people because they'd look at me like I had three heads. But I know that you know enough that you won't think I'm crazy. Some of those clots have what he called fingers, extrusions. Now, don't think they're fingers with fingernails on them or rings. They're just extrusions. All right? Those fingers," he said, "will start moving. Like these clots are alive, and we can't kill them. We've tried pulling them apart and putting them in jars with formaldehyde, and they won't die. In fact, they grow in the jar with formaldehyde." End of story. Now, alive can mean many different things. If we were on a planet where there were no carbon life forms, but they were silicon-based life forms, they'd move, and we'd call them alive. Not in the sense that we know, breathing in oxygen, breathing out CO2 with blood and blood cells. They would be silicon-based. They'd be different. So what he's saying here is that they're alive, but I don't want you to think in the sense that they're going to crawl out and try to jump you in an alley, or that they're parasites and they're going to take you apart if you go into a hospital. But they are moving, and they're moving after they're pulled out of the body. Now, this can mean a number of things. They're still causing captured proteins to misfold and increasing the size of that little appendage, that finger, or the main clot itself. There are a lot of possibilities here. So just keep that in mind. We have much more to say on this. Erica, go ahead.
Yeah, so these are the amyloid clots They're very, very rich in protein, and they're tough. They're rubbery. I haven't seen them personally, but I imagine there's something akin to a rubber band or a ligament. So they don't break down, and that's what's so deadly about them, is that the body, once
they
this process
grow.
Is underway, yeah, it itself propagates. And to this date, there is no cure for that. There are some treatments that you can do to keep it at bay. I mean, Pfizer's got some nice drugs for this because I would suspect they maybe had some idea that something of this sort might happen, given the technology that they're employing, transfecting people with genes to produce amyloidogenic proteins. Essentially amyloid seed. So the spike protein is causing misfolding wherever it goes. The most obvious place nowadays is the blood, and you can see that with the thickening of the blood and then the formation of these fibrils.
Fibrils, yeah.
There were several comments to this post. Many people are believing that these are parasites. Someone even said that they're a hydra. No, these are the body's own proteins that are now misfolding. And when they misfold, they aggregate and they grow.
So they aggregate together, they accumulate, and they continue to grow. In that sense, they get bigger because there are more of these little fibrils made from more misfolded proteins caused by the spike protein. Okay.
That's what it is.
Go ahead, finish.
No, I was just going to say that this process of misfolded proteins can occur in many tissues throughout the body. Right now there's, I believe, 37 different conditions that are the result of this formation of amyloid proteins in those tissues. The most notable that people could readily think of are the ones having to do with neurodegeneration, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, Lewy body dementia, and Creutzfeldt-Jakob. But there are conditions that can affect the liver or the kidney,
right,
and the joints.
Pain.
Pain, yeah, and various neuropathies. And it can happen, I think, in a very stealth mode, so that you don't realize it's happening until so much of a certain organ or tissue is compromised that you've either got severe pain or dysfunction. Now, how long that process takes with this injection, I don't know. I mean, with some people, the process may already be happening. Misfolded proteins tend to, you know, occur with age anyway.
How many different kinds of proteins can be misfolded, approximately? Not people think only a prion protein can misfold. No, no. If only that were true. It's not true.
Oh, I'm going to guess they've identified 50 anyway. They find more and more. You know, the big ones are the amyloid beta, which is associated with Alzheimer's disease, the alpha-synuclein, which is associated with Parkinson's disease, and then the prion protein having to do with Creutzfeldt-Jakob. But there's many. That TDP-43, that was fairly recently identified. That's associated with ALS. But there's a long list of them that can potentially misfold and accumulate in tissues and become a problem.
Think of these as food for the spike protein to do what, among other things, it is supposed to do, and that is to cause your body's normal proteins to misfold. And I think all of you saw the video last Monday. It's up there. You'll see it. Showing misfolded proteins in a very interesting presentation. Nice digital work, artwork. It made it quite clear how they misfold. It's not like you got a piece of bread and it folds the wrong way. These things look like strands, lots of strands, and they're supposed to fold a certain way. And if one or two of the strands kicks out and doesn't fold into the loop it's supposed to, you've got a misfolded protein. And they will aggregate with other misfolded proteins. So to recap the spike protein issue, we talked about cleavage and the cleaving of the spike protein, which happens once it's in the body, in apparently most cases. When that protein is broken open, cleaved, on the inside, there are at least 7 peptide sequences that when they come into contact, remember, they're no longer folded up and hidden on the inside. This spike protein is now broken open, and these 7 peptide sequences are available to any protein that comes near them, and those 7 peptide sequences cause those proteins, if they're appropriate to the job, to misfold. And they begin to stick together, to self-assemble, to aggregate into little strands of fiber. Little, long, tiny, thin fiber, okay, with maybe 10, 6, 5, starting out with maybe 2 misfolded proteins. Grows to 10, grows to 20, grows to 30. Some join and make it thicker. So bottom line is, these fibers or fibrils made of misfolded proteins begin to cascade and cause other proteins to misfold. It doesn't all have to be done with the spike protein. The cascade of misfolding proteins doesn't stop. And every newly misfolded protein will self-assemble and aggregate into fibers or fibrils, either one you want to use is fine, which turn into larger and larger fibrils, and those become ultimately amyloid clots. But they're not blood clots. They're made of amyloid processed proteins. They're protein amyloid clots. And people got to keep that in mind. They're not blood. They look like rubber bands. They're smooth. And they continue to move, however they're doing it, after being put in a jar of formaldehyde, according to the story I just read. Remember, don't think blood clots. Think amyloid clots. Amyloid clots from the microclot level. Remember, spike proteins cause microclotting in your capillaries around the clock. More and more capillaries get blocked, right? More and more fibrils are involved in blocking them. And pretty soon you've got a plaque. You've got a piece, nice chunk, down there in that capillary bed. All right? So these turn into larger amyloid clots, not blood clots. From microclots to macroclots, it doesn't matter. These clots are everywhere potentially, not just in your brain, in your heart, in your liver, in your lungs, your pancreas. It can be anywhere. And they're rubbery. So you are being rubberized with misfolded proteins, which are either clot-like in a vein or an artery or a capillary, or a plaque-like form. This is for fun in your brain or on a kidney. Okay? You got it? Amyloid clots. Don't think blood clots. Oh, there are blood clots. But these, as a result of the bioweapon injections and the spike protein, which has been cleaved or broken open, exposing 7 different peptide sequence areas to turn and convert normal proteins into misfolded proteins, which aggregate together into little strands and then bigger strands and then ultimately these horrible clots. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. Amyloid clots. Good enough?
And that's well stated. And this is the definition of an infectious protein. So the spike is able to cause this to happen. You don't need the whole virus. You only need the spike to begin this process.
Spike proteins are transmissible. Please understand, our current recommendation is you stay as far as you can away from the vaxxed. Now, there's two sides to this, and they're equally as humane. One, the unvaxxed do not want to be shed upon and receive spike proteins or maybe even the mRNA. That's a possible too. But turn the coin over. The people who have been the recipient and have chosen to get the injection of the bioweapons no longer have much, if any, immune competence left. Their immune systems are ruined. So why would you, as an unvaxxed person, carrying all kinds of bacteria and viruses like we all do, but our immune systems are still working, keeping them in balance, why would you want to be around someone who's been vaxxed and has no immune system and potentially give them something that'll kill them? You wouldn't. So those are two very damn good reasons to keep your distance from other people. And people are going to lie about their vax status so you don't know. So
yeah,
common sense,
yeah.
Common sense. Mask, social distance, wash your hands. Because the spike protein can come out of any body fluid, from tears to urine to sweat, it doesn't matter. And then you have other means of transmission as well, exosomic transmission. I think any, if you wet kiss somebody who's vaxxed and you're not, you're going to pick it up. How lucky do you feel? So it's a real question now of people being put to a test of trust. Are they going to be honest with other people and give up their social life, their good times? A lot of people won't. They'll lie. They want to have fun. It's all about hedonism, remember? That's our lifestyle now. The new normal is hedonism and lying on top of it amongst the vaxxed and the unvaxxed and the dying. And many, many people have these amyloid clots and plaques forming all over their bodies, and they don't feel good. Their joints hurt. They have headaches. And why wouldn't they? And so what do? Many of them quit their jobs, and they stay home. They don't want to go out because they feel like shit. And that's the truth. Excuse
the French word there. I think this weekend, you know, in this area anyway, we had stellar weather the last 2 days, and there was no real traffic to speak of. I mean, these beaches should have been crowded. They were not. Traffic was at a minimum.
Misfolded proteins in every major organ, Erica, or most or many, or even one major organ, and you don't feel good. You don't feel good.
Yeah, this is, a stealthy process. It doesn't happen overnight. And the symptoms can depend on which organs are being affected, but it might include fatigue. That's a big one, and we know there's a lot of people feeling fatigue these days, and shortness of breath, numbness and tingling in the hands or feet, swelling. Swelling's a big one. I hear a lot of people complaining about swollen legs, ankles, for no apparent reason, digestive issues. And they'll go to the doctor, but the doctors are not looking for this right now because, this would have been a rare thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we've got some accounts of people about amyloidosis, which is another way to say someone who has been stricken with cascading, misfolding proteins from, usually, a spike. Okay? I think you pulled together three of them here. There's three. One, two, and three.
Let's see. The one I'm looking at. Okay, this is from an amyloidosis support group. After 6 months of testing, my father has been diagnosed with cardiac amyloidosis. It first showed up last October when he had an echocardiogram. We still do not know what kind he has, that is amyloidosis, so he will need a heart biopsy. His echocardiogram from 2020 was fine. What did he do different in 2021? He got both Pfizer vaccines and the booster. Yesterday, the FDA started fulfilling a judge's order to release 50,000 pages a month of the Pfizer vaccine data. I got my hands on the first 9 pages of adverse reactions. What was on page 2? Amyloidosis. I have no words.
Amyloidosis, again, just to recap, is the misfolding of proteins, which drives them into forming little fibers, which become fibrils, which become larger groups, which you could call plaques, or ultimately amyloid clots if they are in a vein, artery, or capillary. But this person has amyloidosis in his heart. In other words, he has plaques of misfolded proteins caused by the spike in his heart. And it's growing because proteins circulate all over the body. Plenty of food for these cascades to eat up on and get bigger and grow. They'll never run out. There's so many proteins in the human body you couldn't count them. It's God only knows how many. All right, the second half of that post, the answer came back from somebody, a comment. I'm very sorry to hear that. I had myelitis, inflammation of the spinal cord, after the Pfizer jab. I was hospitalized 4 times in 8 months, and my doctor said the vaccine triggered it. He also said it was a trigger to another disease, lupus, multiple sclerosis. I don't know yet. So I do think it's totally possible someone can trigger a disease from it if they have the predisposition. It's like the vaccine sped up a disease you were prone to have. Sending prayers to your father, your dad. All right. So these are taken off social media. They're not proofread. Their language is sometimes a little tricky. Number 2 is the same one. Clever. Let's see what number 3 is. Okay, number 3 is different. So, do you have number 2?
I don't. No, I only have 2 here.
All right. Well, I
the next
think
one I'm
two
looking
got,
at.
Yeah.
The next one I'm looking increase? At comes from. Yeah, this is from the Creutzfeldt-Yakov group.
Okay. Take it.
From the administrator of this particular group.
Yeah. Go to it.
All right. She says the number of increased in parties joining this page is alarming to me. We've officially hit 600 members, and that breaks my heart. In the last week alone, we've gained 20 new members. To the newest members of this group, welcome to the first place you can let your guard down and feel free to vent, ask questions. It's why we are all here. Each of us here have all been affected by CJD. We're all lost and hurting, many still reeling from the aftermath and confusion. But the fact is here, we do understand the emotions set with this as best as you do. We have the same confusions you did. We will and can help walk you through the steps and how this progresses. Don't be afraid. Nothing you ask is silly or too small. And all of the group members here have a honest and true respect for one another. And then someone to that says, have to ask ourselves what has changed in the last couple of years to spur such an increase in cases. Just putting that out there.
Oh, my.
There are a lot of people coming into these CJD groups lately.
Now, that's where the amyloidosis occurs in the brain. Those are the CJD groups, okay? Just so you know, it's just the same thing as in the heart or the kidneys, or the nerves, but it's in the brain. So these are called CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Okay.
Well, that's, that pertains to a specific protein that misfolds, known as the prion protein. And I know that name is thrown around rather indiscriminately, but there is a particular protein known as a prion protein, and when that misfolds, it produces the spongiform encephalopathy known as Creutzfeldt-Jakob or spongiform encephalopathy. But there's other proteins in the brain that, can also misfold, as I said earlier, that the alpha-synuclein or the amyloid beta or the TDP-43 or the SOD1. I mean, there's a lot. So when the spike protein gets into the brain, depending on how much is there, it has a very good chance of running into one of these very delicate proteins that is susceptible to misfolding and then causing this chain reaction. I mean, the body does have mechanisms to deal with this because not every protein that, a cell produces is, perfectly folded, but you have molecules in your body known as chaperones that can check for that and then tag them if they don't look right, and then get rid of them. But I think that system is overwhelmed in the case of a flood of spike proteins nonstop permeating
only
the tissue.
Only 30 trillion of them.
Only takes one. It only takes one to start the process, theoretically.
Now, think about that. Erica just said it only takes one spike protein in the body, and this can be acquired by shedding, being next to someone. Huh? That's possible? I'm not saying it's common, but it's possible. And certainly if you get injected, the general math says that the mRNA packets are going to end up causing your body to produce in the neighborhood of 30 trillion spike proteins, right? Each looking for a place to call home, to set up shop, and among other things, cleave, so they break open or unfold, if you will, unwrap, and expose those seven peptide sites to proteins that come drifting by. And they get turned into misfolded proteins when they contact. Now, last Monday, the program we did was real important. And there was a video that was with it. And if you go down on the right side of the homepage and look for the program that we did, let me give you the exact title as it is here. It's in the archive, The Spike Protein. There's three different pictures of it that rotate. You understand. And it says, number three, Jeff and Erica, why you must understand amyloidosis and amyloid plaques. That was the program last Monday. It was a blockbuster. This one is right on its heels. Below that is the video that we played during the program. Amyloid fibrils. Over 30 types exist. It's a 2 minute and 40 second video. I'm going to play it again right now and hope that you'll all go take a look at it and learn. And again, it's called amyloid fibrils. It's the fourth link down on that right side archive. Over 30 types exist. So here it is again. We're going to play it for you. So listen in. It's not very long.
Amyloidosis is the name for a group of rare diseases in which abnormal proteins misfold, leading them to aggregate and deposit in tissues and organs where they cause damage. Proteins are molecules that are essential for the structure and functioning of all living organisms. Our body produces many thousands of different proteins. Each has a specific role and is made according to the genetic instructions carried within our DNA. Once made, the protein folds into a particular shape, allowing it to work properly and interact with other molecules. Sometimes proteins misfold and don't function properly, but normally our body is very good at getting rid of them before they cause any problems. Problems can occur if, for example, the removal mechanism isn't working properly, or if more misfolded proteins are made than our body can handle. Amyloidosis occurs when misfolded proteins aren't removed in the normal way.
And they aggregate together, they self-assemble into fibrils, or little teeny tiny threads, which become bigger as more threads join And ultimately, it can turn into something we've seen them. How big? Over an inch thick in that one huge piece that was pulled out of that person's leg? That white
one? I remember the one that was about 3 feet long.
Yeah, but there was, I'm talking about thickness. This thing was at least an inch in diameter.
It was shocking.
All right, here's more.
Instead, they accumulate and stick together to form long, rigid fibrils that deposit in various tissues and organs. These deposits are called amyloid and, over time, start to cause damage. More than 30 different proteins are known to misfold and form amyloid, meaning that over 30 different types of amyloidosis exist. Some proteins misfold because of a faulty gene we inherit from one of our parents, whereas others misfold because of factors we acquire during the course of our lives.
This was made in 2018, before the injection of the bioweapon was given to 80% of America and 5 billion people on the planet. That is the issue.
As a result of aging, regardless of the type, once formed, amyloid is insoluble and difficult to break down. As it builds up, it stops the affected organs from working properly. Symptoms vary depending on which organs are involved. The most common include the heart, kidneys, liver, spleen, nervous system, and digestive system. But this varies according to the type of amyloidosis and also differs between patients who have the same type. There is currently no cure for amyloidosis, but treatment options are available for the most common types, and novel treatments are being investigated, including ways to stop misfolded proteins being made and ways to stabilize proteins to prevent them from misfolding.
Well, unfortunately, all of that work is being overridden, has been overridden, and will continue to be overridden by the biological weapon injections that they're calling vaccines. Okay?
The aim is to stop disease progression, restore organ function, and improve quality of life for patients.
Okay, the video is up there. I would urge you to watch it, share it, and share this program. It's important that the information is very straightforward. You need to understand that pericarditis, myocarditis, these things are in all likelihood evidences of amyloidosis.
Yep, well said. Well said. And I think that may be why China is now beyond paranoid in testing for COVID or this virus and testing dead bodies as well, because prions can exist long after the body dies and can become infectious just on their own. And we've seen that with chronic wasting disease in the cervids. These deer and elk can shed prions from their bodies into the ground. They can be uptaken by plants, eaten by the next cervid, and then that deer or elk comes down with chronic wasting disease as well.
Okay. Now, for those of you out there who are very quick-witted, if spike proteins go into the ground through the urine from the deer and other animals, and they found CJD, NVCJD, and deer, moose, elk. It's in 30-some states now. They've found it rather commonly in deer. Yes, the deer can deposit spike proteins in farmland, farm fields, which can be used to grow, I'm sorry to say this, lettuce, beans, crops of any kind, and they can easily pull these spike proteins up into them, and you can eat them.
And they're still infectious.
I am not trying to scare you, and Erica just took my next line and ran beautifully with it. And they are still infectious. Now, let's put something else out there in terms of agriculture and the danger that is ahead, and the timing of all of a sudden they're allowing the liquefaction of human bodies and using that as fertilizer for agricultural fields with crops. Now, if you know anything at all about spike proteins and prion proteins, prion proteins, for example, can withstand 1,200 degrees in a furnace. Now, a normal crematory is about 675 degrees. So just call it double. A spike protein will not be destroyed in a body that is being cremated. It'll go right up the chimney, right out, and right through the neighborhood, into the ground,
well,
into
wait,
the grass.
Wait. It's not, the spike protein itself is not a prion. The spike protein can act as a prion catalyst.
Correct.
So it itself
Correct.
Is not the prion, but it can induce the misfolding of your proteins, which will then be indestructible.
Correct. But the prion protein itself goes out and survives 1,200 degrees.
Yes.
The work that has not been done yet would demonstrate what the spike protein can withstand. And I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
I don't believe it's that hardy. It's, you know, the body can denature it so that it loses its infectivity or biological activity.
Right. Well, I wouldn't want to live near a crematory and have that
not these
smoke
days.
Coming down
There's
all over my house.
There's going to be a lot of people with, well, these neurological proteopathies. And yes, they become aerosolized, airborne through burning. You know, people have complained about that. The people that live downwind of crematoriums, that is a concern.
I would think.
And
what about this liquefaction of human bodies and or the turning of human bodies into fertilizer, which is another technique and which will not necessarily kill spike proteins at all?
Well, again, a spike protein is you know, once it's been denatured, it's not that hard to denature the spike protein. It's the misfolded proteins that are coming from the body.
But there's a misfold. Let's get this straight. A misfolded protein will cause another protein to misfold. It doesn't have to be a spike protein. Once
right.
it gets going,
these
it's a cascade.
Proteins being produced within the body, within the cells, they're unable to fold properly.
So
and
you
then
don't,
they collapse and they aggregate together and form these long
right.
strands.
And you don't want any of these. I think there were 31 kinds, they said, or something like that, that were capable of this easy misfolding
yes.
or spike,
yep.
spike protein induced.
Yep.
So the point is, they're going to start taking human bodies now, which have these misfolded, they have amyloidosis, they don't care, and they're going to dissolve them or turn them into some other kind of rudimentary fertilizer and use this to grow your own garden crops at home. You better start reading labels on bags of fertilizer. I don't know how common this is going to become, but it seems to be a growth industry already, and the timing is very suspicious.
Well, they're either anticipating a lot of life. Now, I don't know what kind of chemical concoction they're using to liquefy these bodies and whether
know.
That chemical is capable
of deactivating a spike protein.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of research has gone into that, so I don't know.
Does it necessarily deactivate all proteins? Because, as you said, there may be 31 proteins that, once they're misfolded, they look for other proteins of like manner to misfold as well. And proteins can live a long time.
Well, the denatured proteins, these misfolded ones, yeah, they're virtually indestructible. You have to go to great lengths to deactivate their infectivity.
And then people that are dissolving bodies and drying them out and desiccating them and turning them into some other kinds of fertilizer, which I saw a video on that the other day, I just don't hear any talk about denaturing any proteins in the body.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't want my produce coming from a field that was fertilized with human remains, especially with this going on.
And
it's really telling that nobody really outside of a small group of people is talking about this. I mean, Jessica Rose mentioned it in passing in one of her Substack articles last week, but this should be front page news. People are being injected with something that's causing them to produce a prion-generating protein.
Well, it's front page news here, and I hope all of you will share tonight's program, last Monday's program, and the video. Last Monday was Why You Must Understand Amyloidosis and Amyloid Plaques. Tonight we'll come up with another title, and that'll be two that are extremely important. This is maybe the big one.
I think
maybe
it is.
The big one.
This is bad. I mean, and they've been, you know, looking at weaponizing prions or aerosolizing prions as a bioweapon for quite some time. It's not hard to find research on that, and I think they might have done
right.
it.
Looks so when
like
they
have
go
done
up and
it.
Out the chimney at the crematory, you don't want to be near there breathing and inhaling them. No. No, no. Nope.
Mm.
Okay. Well, that's last week. Anything you want to add? I think we've covered it all very thoroughly, and it's there. We could talk scientific jargon, but this we put it on the table straight so everyone can understand it, I think.
Yeah, I'm astonished that there's, at last count, 207 vaccines for this spike protein, either recombinant
same spike,
vaccines.
Same spike
with these prion-generating sites on it in clinical trials right now.
And we don't know if there are only seven. We know seven have been determined to exist so far.
Mm-hmm.
Those sites on a cleaved or broken open or unfolded spike protein. There may be 10. There may be 15. We don't know. But there are at least seven peptide sequences that are right there waiting to meet up with a protein in your body and misfold it and send it on its way to misfold others and to create fibrils and then ultimately clots or plaques. You
yep.
choose.
That's it.
Thanks, Erica. Good job.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Have a good night.
Okay. All right, everyone. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes.